were in halacha yud, kufi beis halacha yud. The mechaber says, "Mofa b'tano ide oivik kachavim gimel pon b'yemechod." If a guy cooked in an oven three times in one day, v'yachshiru hatano ide kisei v'beis hapon, and the first two times of the day, the yid remembered to do hashlachas kisei and to make it pass as well. But the third time he forgot, he didn't do hashlachas kisim. So the mechaber says the din is that the food is mutter, because the way the Beis Yosef explains it, there are still coals left from the first and second fire into the third fire. Those fires were made by the yid, and they're considered, the yid did something to make it a fire of the yid. So those coals last into the third fire, so the third fire has leftovers from the Jews' fire. It's considered to be past Israel also.
Why do you need two times? Why is
that's a story that he was talking about. The Shaila and the Rishonim is about that kind of case. Everybody says that if it will be one time,
Bob
Davki. Yeah. Right. The point here is just that.
One time will be good for
the whole day. It's because the fires were mounted with logs or with coal, and so the things lasted from one to the other. It wasn't like in our oven that if you turned it off, it's gone.
Except here, from age to age.
In a little bit of a sense, yes.
I hear you.
The Rama says, V'yeshayim. The Rama says, another case, Dim hechshu hatana pamachas. If the yid was machshu tanner, meaning he did hashlachas kisei, V'li omer hatana me'es le'es b'lehesek, and the tanner didn't sit for 24 hours without being lit, meaning it was on or warm for never off for 24 hours, then a few offer by kama yomim, even if you cook like this for many days, meaning on Sunday you... the yid was mash, did something kisim. They cooked for 5 hours, and then it stayed off for 10 hours. And then on Monday they cooked more, and they kept going on and off like that. Hakol mutter, so mutter mikol hechsher rishon from the first hechsher, the first hashlachas kisim. The yeshus machazem will make kolnis. Okay, so here there are most cases that the oven was not only did you go, you didn't just go from one baking to another. The oven was completely off, so to speak. It was off, but their oven was not like ours. The oven was a big, heavy brick or clay or
metal
oven. So those ovens hold their heat for a very long time, like in a pizza oven. I mean, they don't cool down in 10 minutes. It's nice and hot for a long time. So that oven, it stays for the yid. His hashlachos kisim, the Rambam says, even if it goes 24 hours, meaning even as long as it doesn't cool down. That's the point, that it doesn't cool down.
The temperature that it has.
We'll come to that in 1 second. We'll come to that in 1 second, yes. Okay, so now what's the reason for this din? Where did this din, the mechaber, where did that din come from? So when the Beis Yosef brings his din from a Mordechai, he brings that the Mordechai said first he thought it should be asur, but then he says since we hold that hashlachos kisim works, so that teaches us that all the yid has to do is make a hecker. So he says, so this is a hecker. He says because his thing is still left over into the next fight. Okay, so we're even willing to take, even though the yid didn't actually help the cooking, you know, if you don't hold the hashlachas kisei, it means your yid has to do something that helps the cooking. That's how other rishonim hold. We paskin that you just have to do hashlachas kisei, any little hecker counts. So he says, this is also a hecker. Okay? And the Gemara brings this down. He says that these things are considered like hashlachas kisei. Okay, it has the same idea of it, meaning you made a hecker just like by hashlachas kisei. Okay, and that hesber has two very practical applications. Okay.
That's a question. Now, if you hold hashlachas kisim, it has to be done after the fire is lit.
That's the first application. Rabbi Shachter used this then as a raya that you see that you could do hashlachas kisim even before the fire is lit. Because in this case, the yid, let's say the mechaber's case, the first two times the yid did hashlachas kisim, then they put out that fire. In effect, they put out the fire.
The fire was out.
They finished baking. Now the third thing, they lit up again. We said, now there's probably some warm coal still sitting around in the
that's
oven.
How it worked.
And
it's a continuation of the first one.
But there, the kisein, the yid's participation was there before the guy built his third fire. Yet, that still counts.
It's a chelik still from the third fire. It's an extension.
Say, Tetra Ramos' case, they mamish turned the oven off completely for 10 hours. There was nothing to do, but it was warm in the chamber. And that warmth is considered a hashlachas kisim, because we say, because it helps relight the fire the next time. The warmth helps them.
Okay.
But the point is, the Mordechai is saying is you just have to, you don't have to help the cooking, you have to just have some kind of a hecker. And that hecker that you have, which is not helping the cooking, that hecker was there before the guy built his fire. So Rabbi Shachter built this as a riot. That you're allowed to use, that the kisim could be before the fire. There's no such thing that the kisim has to be after the fire.
Okay.
That's the first point. Right. The second one is, second is Yankees, which is how hot do you have to keep the oven when you do the, we say it has to, the corn thermometer has to stay warm in Uhad, from one cooking to the next.
Right.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told Radovsky that it has to stay hot enough that you could cook it. Okay, and Rav Shlomo Zalman told Radovsky that hot enough for cooking means it has to be 80 degrees Celsius, okay, which in Fahrenheit sounds much more exact. We say 176 degrees, sounds like very, like, you know, like, almost like years of research, but anyway, it was 80 degrees Celsius. That's a nice even number. An amount for cooking. And after Radovsky told me this once, I went home, and next time my wife Michal, I took a piece of dough, plopped it into the oven, and left it there at 175 degrees to see what would happen. Okay, and after
keep the 175, you mean?
You put the thermostat to 175. Put the thermostat to 175.
It was digital.
And 4 hours, I think it was about 4 hours later, it was bread. It was fine. You could eat it. It was no problem. Okay? So I was all excited. Until the next time my wife Michal, I put it into the oven at 150 degrees. Right. It doesn't prove anything. No, and that the next
6 hours.
No, it took 10 hours. The next morning, it was also fine bread. But they thought that didn't count.
Somehow
that
didn't count.
Okay. So it has to be. We say it has to go for. It has to be enough that you should be able to cook at a cooking temperature. So 176 degrees. They decided it's cooking temperature. You could bake bread. And Rabbi Shachter asked just a kasha, just like a side question, which is that's fine for baking. How do you know that for cooking? What temperature you need to get? Okay. But the problem is,
you're not going
to
cook anything at 170.
What? You need saladas.
To cook?
You're not going to cook water. I've done tests.
You mean water? You mean, so it'll depend on the food. But you're going to
test in a Shabbos oven, you know, about heating and putting it in.
Yeah.
And you put it in overnight, like 100, 200, or whatever. It can do it.
Okay. So now, the problem is that in this case,
you need a certain temperature.
The din that we're talking about over here, the Mordechai says, I thought that it shouldn't work. Because what you're doing is not doing anything for the cooking. But then I said, no, you know what? All you need is a hecker, just like a hashlachas kisim. You just need a hecker. So therefore, even though the heat is not gonna, it's not such a big deal, you could still count it anyhow. Now, doesn't that sound like you could use any heat? Doesn't he sound like the Ramos says his reason? The reason is because the warmth in the oven helps you relight it. What does that do to the cooking temperature? Where did it come from that there should be such a chiv to have a cooking temperature? It has to just be warm. The point is just there's a little bit of heat left over with the Jew's fire. That little bit of heat is the continuation of the Jew's hecker. If it cools off completely, the hecker's gone.
Right.
So the truth is that there's really no... We can't find any makor for saying that you should really need to have a cooking temperature. The simple thing is, which is Rabbi Schwartz holds, I heard Rabbi Schwartz holds like that also, in Lakewood, that you just need to have warmth. I mean, something over ambient temperature. As long as there's still just a room temperature.
If I'm out here and it's 75 degrees and I walk in the oven and it's 85, then that's
as long as it's hotter.
Those step ovens that you have in a bakery where you, it's the rack oven,
yes,
they stay hot for hours.
That's the point is, as long as it stays warmer, as long as it stays hotter than the temperature room. In the room, that means the yitz fire still has some
continuation.
Still has some effect, and therefore that's considered that it's, you able to take your shoes off.
Does this have anything to do with what you said last time about the bulb in the oven?
Well, if the bulb would keep the chamber warmer than room temperature, yes, that would work, but it's not going to. The bulb doesn't do nothing. The question here is, you lit a fire, and then the fire went out. And now the chamber still stayed warm. That's good enough. If you relight that fire, it's still bishus. And l'chayra, it seems from this din that it could be any warmth. And you know, there's another thing. Maybe you don't want to think this is a riot, but you know, until 10 years ago, how come none of the poskim give a shear to how hot it has to be? The din says as long as it stayed warm. And nobody feels like they have to say something as to what the shear is. Everybody for the past 400 years. Since the Rambam died, where's everybody been? So because that's an implication. The way the simple, I think the Mordechai, the implies the way Rabbi Schwartz holds, which is that any warmth is enough, and you don't need to have a specific temperature that you have. Okay, and this whole din, you should just know. I'm sort of not. Okay, we'll come back to it in a second, that part. Okay. Anyway, so those are the two nafkimis just from understanding the din. Okay, now the Mechaber said you have to. He gave an example that you lit the fire. Two times he had lit it, and there were some coals left over to the third fire. And the Ramah said a case where the fire went out, and it could stay out for hours and hours, as long as it stayed warm in the chamber. Okay, do they hold like each other, or they're arguing on each other? Okay. Of course, the Ramah holds like the Mechaber. Does the Mechaber hold of the Ramah's case? The Ramah said, if you turn off the fire completely, and say, well, does he hold of that case? Okay. Would he hold that that's good enough also? What do you say to him? Yeah.
Exactly.
Message of the Chaver. Hold
like the Ramos. Moshe was more even make all of them.
Oh, sorry. The Mordechai is an extension, right? The second Mordechai is an extension. No.
No. The Mordechai, which is the Mechaver, is
more partial.
First, because why is it more partial?
Because good as the mamash calls it.
Right. Okay. And it's still hot. And it's still the fire.
If you look at the bracha, I haven't seen it in the recent bit, but it's mashma, but it's marcha, it's extended for the first and second, it's not so posh.
It's a chelek from the
second one. So what David's remembering from, you know,
way back
yesterday
when he learned it, was that the Beis Yosef brings the Ramaz din first, you know, like a page before him. Brings that Ramaz. He brings this din that it works that if you turn off the oven even a day later, you could, this is how he says it, even if a day later you could still relight it.
Right.
He says, the kuli yaseiri hi. Okay, it seems like a extreme kula. A page later he brings the Mordechai and he's very happy with that. Okay, so the simple reading of the of the Beis Yosef is he doesn't hold like the Ramaz. Okay? The Ramah, who agrees with that case, the simple reading is the Mechaber doesn't hold to that case. Okay? And the Chavkut B'Yom Taka says that. And then he has to try to understand, well, what's the difference between the cases? What's really the difference? Why is one a kisim and one is not? And whatever has been,
possibly the first one just cold left.
And therefore, what? What's the difference?
So it's an extension, it's like the first layer.
Temperature is an absent abstract thing.
You need something physical.
Right.
You need a physical thing.
You need mitzvahs.
What's the definition of
Hekka? Hekka means something to recognize. A marker, something that shows that you can only use this food because the Jew participated. You don't have to actually help in the cooking, but it has to have done something that makes the point that you can't eat this food unless I participate, and that sort of separates the chassas. I'm not going to mingle with them so much as whenever we want to cook.
It's a reminder.
You know, I can't eat all your food always. I have to do this little separate.
I think it's great to mention the Rashba's Lashon, who is the one of those brains, there's a case of idea, said the word is the hakir shepitom osus. Vaitam is taka pasakum. But it's not, vaitam is really pas out, right? But just to remind you that pas akum is osur, so if you do a hakir, it reminds you that pas akum is osur.
Okay. Fine. Okay. So to remind you. Okay. Now, the thing is, even though either you might think that that's a simple,
that really it's osur, but this is.
Even though it's a simple reading of the Beis Yosef, okay? The Gra says that that's not true. The Gra says, in explaining the Mechaber, he says, because you just need a kisim, and it's still warm, he says, in kol shekein, if you have actual coals, in the words of the Mechaber, he says, because it's still warm, so he says, and kol shekein, the actual coals makes it even better than that. Okay, and in Svara, warmth is, you know, hacker is hacker, it shouldn't make such a difference. So what are we going to say about this question? The Beis Yosef, when he says it, says, the kuli yaseiri hi, like, you know, he sure sounds like he doesn't hold like it. Okay, and the answer is, that if you look at the documentation on that word, the kuli yaseiri, right, the documentation says, he says, this is from an ogur, sefer ogur. So he says, the sefer ogur maybe means, when he says that if you leave, turn the fire off, even a day later you could use it, that maybe means is, in a case where the oven happened to stay warm. In other words, he's seeing that the Beis Yosef held, it's a kuli yaseiri to say that you could rely on the oven you lit yesterday if it cooled off. Because he was thinking that the ogre was saying is once you light it, you could use it even the next day, even if it doesn't stay warm. So the Rama says, no. He doesn't mean that. He means that if it stayed warm, then the heck would continue and then you could use it.
So why would you ever have to...
So, I would tell you why.
What'd you say?
According to that, why are they...
Well, why?
So you would maybe think, so this, he's re...
But why would you even do that? So because you could to turn on the oven, put a fire, and light the oven.
Turn it off.
And then that's it, forever.
No, so it's not forever. The point being is that for whatever time you would think that maybe that should say is, since every week I have to come light the fire. I have to light the fire again. So every week I have to light it, so that reminds you. The point is just to make a hecker that I have to participate. What's really the difference if you every Sunday morning I have to come in, or I have to come in every Sunday morning?
Give me a timeline.
You're making it up.
No. I'm not making it up. I'm telling you.
You're making the time.
No, I am. I agree.
I'm
telling you, but the way the Ramah said, maybe, this is how he says, maybe. The Ogre's talking about it, as in, the Beis Yosef didn't understand that way, and therefore the Beis Yosef said this is cooler. So Ramah's like, I figured out a way to answer the pshat. As if he was reading that the Beis Yosef didn't think that was the case.
Okay, well, can I just go ahead? Maybe the Hesber is, there would be a time limit. It can't be that you light it one time, it cools off that. But it could be that as long as, I know wood that burns already, it's easier to light and it makes it much easier for fires to go on. So maybe he would mean to say, as long as those wood pieces are still intact, that it's moisif and it makes it easier to light the other ones, then it's considered still a ekra for Pazro. But about 2 weeks later, when that's gone, then it can help.
Okay. Anyhow,
it makes no sense.
Why would it be gone?
It makes no sense. What do you mean it cool? It makes no sense.
So you're
right. It makes no sense. It's not called a kuli yaseira. It's not a kula. It makes no sense.
Because a kula would be a seis. The yid just has to something to show you can't.
So polish the oven. Go ahead and move. It makes. Why would it make any sense? I'm just saying. Huh? Take a mug and dump. Whatever. Put a mezuzah. Put a mezuzah on the door.
Just to review what I don't remember for sure. For this particular inyan of helping cook, the Jew could put the pot and the fire off.
Yes.
Rabbi the truth of the matter is, you could put the pot on the fire also.
Correct.
Okay. So, if you turn on, if you light a pilot light on an oven.
Correct.
And the Jew never turns on the particular flame that you're going to cook.
Correct.
With. It's still participating. But that's mamish, that's ambient temperature.
Right.
That is ambient.
But it's the fire is there.
But that's because
the Jew. But the fire is over there. It's, you're talking about an oven where the heat is in the oven and it's still participating. The fire is not even participating. The only way that fire is going to get over here is if the goy takes and turns on the gas and the gas forms a line. It has no shakas to the Jew. No shakas whatsoever. It's absolutely irrelevant. It's just that the Jew happens to be participating in some way, which you're talking about the hecker, is that it's a participation. It has no shakas to the flame.
Let's say. Okay. Now I want to say there's another way to say that. Okay, I have to tell you, it's another way to say why they. I'll get back. Let's do it afterwards. Another reason to say why they don't argue, which is there's a din. It's coming soon, and it's again. Well, the Shach mentions it up here. It's also in Kufi Gimel that if you have a suffolk, if the yid lit the fire, we may call about that. Okay, suffolk of bishul.
Suffolk of Rabbani Golku
is mutter also. Okay, so that maybe the ogur, maybe the Beis Yosef thought that the ogur was saying that. Even if you don't know that it stayed warm, but it may be stayed warm, that might also be. To which the documentary would be saying, maybe the ogre meant it in the case when you know that it was. So the basis of even saying is that it's a coolie sera to say that just because it might have stayed warm, it's good enough.
So side, which case, no side pass.
In which case the Ramah would be saying, is no, he didn't mean when it's right. Maybe stayed warm, it's only meant that if it for sure stayed warm. Okay, maybe that's how you read, but my point is, I'm trying to give you Hezberim, but the Gral learns that the Mechaber agrees to the Ramos. Right, that's what I'm trying to explain to you, and just answer you this deed that the Beis Yosef said it's a
Zager.
Okay, we have two more questions we have to deal with. Okay, first is, how long, which you sort of mentioned, sort of like in passing, which how long can you can this thing last? We said the Yid lights the fire, and then the oven goes off, and the oven goes off, you say it's, even though the oven is off, it stayed warm, and you relit it, it's considered the yid, clearest of the yid's fire. How long can that go for? So that Ketshuva brings a number of achronim, none of whom I've yet been able to find. Okay, one sefer, I have the wrong song. I'm looking in place, I haven't been able to find it.
That Ketshuva is most foreign than Bar Ilan.
Who says, that Ketshuva brings a number of achronim who say that this din, that if it stays warm, it only lasts for a week.
Oh, okay.
If you light it today, it's Friday. If you light the fire today on Friday, and then it went off, and then on, and off, and on, it can only last till next Friday. After a week, the yid has to come and relight it again. Okay, that's what he brings. Now, he doesn't say Hesper, and I haven't been able to get this farm, so I don't really know what the Hesper is. The only thing he brings is that when the Teres Chatas, that's the Ramah, brings this in, he says, if you lit the fire, it went off, and it stayed off for a day, and blah, 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 even for till the end of the week, it still works. Okay, so the case he's using is till the end of the week, and they're understanding that that's very literal, and that it's only till the end of the week, and somehow it expires. In other words, it's like a limit to how you could take this hecker kind of a thing, that when the fire actually went off. So, till the end of the week, fine. You can do it till the end of the week.
As long as the heat is still in there.
When the Jew first lit it?
I don't know what he means. I'm not sure what he means.
And that's as long as the heat is still retained in
there. Right. When the Ramah says it stays warm, you can use it, that has an expiration. Correct. It only lasts for a week.
Expiration dates.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with the fire still on.
Right. No, not when the fire's on. Now the truth is, that Keshub himself brings, and you will notice that the accepted din is not to follow the Shita. Okay, and we say, what?
Where did you see that?
Where did I see?
We don't follow
the
Shita.
Daki Tshuva himself, first of all, the end of Daki Tshuva is that he doesn't hold of it. Right. So he brings the Shita, and just practically, because where's it again?
I mean, I'm talking when the fire is on, when there's a pile of down,
when the fire's out. Okay, you'll hear the case that it's a gate to possibly in a second. Okay? Yeah. That it lasts forever. Okay, now, I have to tell you, just as an aside, just because it was an interesting Einfach, is that in the Chalkos Binyam, in one of his tsiyunim, he brings a hezber, sort of like a compromise, that's the best way I can call it, which is maybe maybe you'll say that this expiration of a week, maybe when it says in the Ramah it works to the end of the week, is real. He really means it. Okay, it's not just a coincidence he happened to be talking about a case. He really means it. But the hezber is not because there's an expiration date, but it's because on Sunday the Goyim close their stores. The Goyim don't bake on, for religious reasons, they don't bake on Sundays. So the Ramah said, you can only do this as long as the oven doesn't go off for 24 hours, because else it cools down completely. So when you come to the end of the week, the Goyim close up shop, and they don't open up for 24 hours. So just for so to speak, practical purposes, at the end of the week, you're going to have to redo it.
You'll have to realize it's Sunday.
Exactly. It's not a seven-day expiration date. It's just at the end of the week, it goes, I'm sorry if I said what it means, because at the end of the week, they're going to close down for Sunday. They're not going to do any baking. So in the middle, it's not going to be warm. So
24-7 means that...
So that in which case, if you have a place that Haka runs 24-7, or they run through that Sunday, so then it's also, it stays warm.
The holiday season, that'd be open, that's right.
Okay, now, the last thing I have to tell you on this part is that, so this is a din, and we're saying, no, we don't hold like this from the din perspective, there's no expiration date. Rabelski has what he calls a hashkafa point, which he says is, the point of Bishul or Pasishol is that we're supposed to say, I can't eat his food unless I participate in the cooking. Okay, his food is not mutter unless I participate. So he says, it doesn't make sense to say that I can do something and do something that I'll never have to participate. He says, you're missing the point. The point here is, the yid has to continuously participate in the cooking. So you say, if I lit the fire and it stays on, it lasts for a certain amount of time. He says, but how can it last forever? The word forever is defeating the purpose. The whole point here is to say, yid have to be involved in... Okay, so the answer, I actually was about to say the opposite point. Okay, you said, how does the Musa get into the Hashkafa? I think it's the other way around. The whole din of Bishul Yisrael, or Pas Yisrael, is a Hashkafa. The din is based on a, so to speak, a Hashkafa. We want to keep away from Chasanas. We're avoiding intermarriage by doing this. So that means to say, the feeling of it, the what do we have to do to avoid intermarriage is very much part of the denominator. Okay, so Rabelski has this thing, he tells people when they go to companies, he says, you know, if you go every month, you should be relighting the boiler also. Not as in there's an official expiration date, it can only last for 32 days. It's just he says, every time when you go, you should be relighting the boiler.
You go to a supermarket, I shouldn't be married because the guy must be somewhere.
Oh, okay.
If you did that smart, then the moisture sort of applies.
Plus counter anyways.
Okay, now lastly, is, and this is going to sort of be what David is, which is like this. What the Ramah said about the oven staying warm,
yes,
it would seem, is the hezber for how we make food, Bishul Yisrael, in a modern oven. What I mean is like this. In the ovens that they had 500 years ago, you lit the fire and you cooked your food. The fire was on. It was like a matzah oven. The fire just stays on. But in my oven at home, it has a thermostat. And what happens is, if I set the oven to 350, for 10 minutes the oven goes on, and then it hits 350, then the fire turns off. So how come if the yid lit the fire, and then a guy cooks 3 hours later, why is it a yid's fire? The yid's fire that he lit went out after 10 minutes. After a few minutes, the fire went out, and then it goes off, and it goes on. So the only thing that was done here in the cooking was the guy put the food into the oven. So why don't we say that all the food, how can I make any food basically in an oven like we have that goes on and off, it has a thermostat that goes on and off, when the yid's fire is long gone? So in other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that the reason why it is basically so is because when I lit the fire, I warmed up the chamber. It never cooled down. Between when I lit it and he cooked, it never cooled down. So what the Ramah says, that if it stays warm, it's considered the yid's fire is the reason why in an oven that works on a thermostat or in a boiler that also cycles on and off, I can make a Bishul Yisrael, because when I light it now, it made it hot, and then it never cooled down before he put the food in. So it stays Bishul Yisrael. Okay, so it's going to come out that if according to this, it'll come out that what the Ramah says here, that you're staying warm, which is like sounds like a very theoretical, not so practical thing, will be every time you light a boiler or an oven, that's really what you're doing. You're lighting it for a few minutes, and then 5 hours later when they cook, that cooking is being done because you made the chamber warm, and anything that comes afterwards is your participation.
Like you point out, for if it happens by mistake that in a restaurant or wherever where the akum turns on the fire and it reaches a temperature, now you got to go ahead and do it. You got to turn it off, wait till it cools off. Are you just adding, you know, flinching okay. around with it is a joke.
Yes, okay.
You have to wait till it cools off, so you're being massive and doing something to the cooking.
I agree with what you said. I'm not just referring right into here. But, okay, yes, it's true. Okay.
You have to let it cool down?
A little bit.
We'll talk about that afterwards. It didn't fit right into here.
I thought it did.
Okay. So now...
That's okay. I'm not arguing.
If, according to what I just said to you...
Take it off the record, please.
According to what I just said to you, this has an even more... So what I just told you is theory, but it has a very practical application, which is by a convection oven. Okay, what's a convection oven? A convection oven is a plain oven, but it has a fan right opposite the door. Okay, in the back wall of the oven has a fan on it that helps circulate the air. And that somehow helps them.
Right.
Okay. Now, what happens is, if you think about it, if there's a fan blowing from the back, every time you open the oven door, you're going to get hot air blown in your face. Okay. So what they do is, in a regular oven, it's just warm. It is warm. But in a convection oven, it's even worse because it blows right in your face.
Automatic.
So in in a convection oven, every convection oven has, and when you open the door, the fan goes off. That's automatic. But in many of them, the fire that's in the convection oven also goes off. Okay, it's just a sort of a so-called safety feature, safety for the operator, the guy opening the door, that everything goes off, and the oven stops for while you have the door open.
Correct.
So now, if you just open it for a second, take something out and put it back in, the convection oven will stay hot, like the Rambam said. But what happens if you're in the middle, you have to empty out 10 trays out of the convection oven, and then the door is open while they're going to get the next 10 trays out of the fridge to put them into the oven. You can leave the door open for 15, 20 minutes. Okay, it could stay open for a long time while they're emptying and busy, whether they're busy with it, no one's opening it. And all that time, the oven is off.
Right.
In a regular oven, when you open the door, the oven stays on. So it's staying warm because the fire keeps on going on and off. But in the convection oven, once you open the door, everything is dead. If it stays open for too long, what might happen is, the oven will cool off completely, in which case, when eventually when they get all the food in and they close the door, that now that the fire goes on has no warmth left over from the yid, in which case the food won't be kosher so. So the yid lit the fire at 8 o'clock in the morning, but 3 hours later when they left the door for a long time, the oven completely cooled off, at which point you need to relight it. Okay, so
this point I want that you're speaking in an oven that has no pilot lights.
Of course. That's a different way of dealing with it. Yes, that's it. So there are two ways to deal with this. There are two ways that people deal with this issue with the convection. There are two ways people deal with it. One way is that they tell the mashgiach to keep his eyes on the door. Don't let the door stay open for too long. Mm-hmm. In each place outside, it's 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever they have. Keep your eye on the door and don't do it. Okay? There's a more sophisticated way to deal with it. Okay? A more lumdish way to deal with it, which is, instead of telling him, the mashgiach, always watch the door, and don't leave the door for more than 15 minutes. Okay, one guy had a parking meter timer, stop, and it would go off. Every time the mashgiach passed by, he'd put on his watch, and 15 minutes later it would ring again, and he'd have to come by there again and check that there's no one doing anything.
You don't mean 15 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Well,
5 minutes.
How long does it take to go for long? 5 minutes is where it drops below 170.
Okay, so we passed 170 a long time ago.
175.
105. Okay, so 105. We passed that a long time ago. So however long it takes.
If you get to 5 minutes, it'll still be 170 degrees.
Yeah. Okay. In that oven?
Now, the
convection ovens?
No, convection ovens, it's a full-size oven, but it has just a fan.
You think of a confectionery oven.
Okay, so...
Not a confectionery oven.
So, but there's another way to deal with it. Another way to deal with it is like this. How long does it take to cook a piece of chicken? Let's say it takes an hour to cook a piece of chicken, okay? What happens if the guy would have lit the fire and put the food in? That's what you're saying is happening. It's cool. Right. So the guy lit the fire and he put the food in. It takes an hour to cook the piece of chicken. The yid doesn't have to participate at the beginning of the cooking. Okay? The yid can participate later in the cooking also. He doesn't have to show up the first minute. So the more sophisticated way of dealing with this is to say, is instead of the yid always keeping his eye on the door and saying, don't let that door ever stay open for more than this many minutes, the yid, every half hour, will open the doors of the convection oven and then reclose them. Figuring that even if someone put food in, the oven had cooled off, and someone put food in, that food's not fully cooked yet. So the yid just has to do something for the cooking before the food gets fully cooked.
Does he have to be mice of something to it?
He has to make a hecker in it.
That's the
Even later, it could help in the cooking. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, when we'll get to it, there's a machaber who implies that there are times he holds you can do it also. Even
doesn't fit in here.
But for sure, it's fine. It's good. Okay. But now, I just told you why there's a special thing about a convection oven. And in fact, that's what we would do.
Okay. Yeah.
However, you maybe it's been too many weeks, but the last time we learned, okay, we heard something else, a completely different way to understand things that will obviate this whole issue. Okay?
What does that mean?
Make it clear.
No, make it go away. Not make it. We saw in Halacha Test that if a person starts up a piece of machinery, in the case there was, he starts up a machine that spins, makes strings for tzitzis. Okay, he starts up a machinery. Everything that happens that machine does is considered that the yid did it, or that the person did it in this case, that a human did it, even though the things that happen are secondary or very far
into what he did.
Even though they're very indirectly related to what he did, if he started the machine, okay, then that's considered, everything that machine does is considered his action, right. Even though it's very far removed, it's not a kayakhwish, it's very far removed from what he did. Since I started the process, everything that flows from it is considered that I did. Okay?
Rabbi Belsky, Rabbi Shachter.
That was negated to something that we all do, which is when you light a boiler, that when you press the button on the boiler does not go on. Okay? There's many steps before the boiler actually goes on. It's not a kayakhwish. But because I started the process, everything that happens is considered my conclusion. So, when I come in the morning, there's different ways to make the convection oven, or any oven for that matter, into a yid's fire. One way is to just adjust the temperature, do hashachas kisim. But what happens if the yid actually turned on the boiler, or he turned on the fire? Not that he adjusted it. It was off, and he walked in the morning, and he flipped the switch to turn it on.
Electric.
He turned on the whole convection oven. So now, an hour later, when the guy opens the door and it cools off completely, when he later closes the door to relight the fire, it's still my turning on the fire in the morning that's making this work.
Why?
Because if it was off, the oven turned back on.
I turned the oven on. Now, he did something that
saved
it, stopped it, paused it for a second.
No, it's just saved it. Turn it off. Turn it off.
He just opened the door that,
for all intents and purposes,
turned it off. No, it's not.
Temporarily off. Okay. For example.
But you need you don't want action on you to turn it back on. It's like, if I turn on the knob, the gas, right, and the guard puts on the fire, right, you tell me that's my fire.
Say it again.
If I turn the knob in the oven to on, right, yes. To gas come out, and then the guard puts on the fire, right?
Yes.
Is that my action?
I didn't turn on the heat there.
You did, but in this case, I didn't do that. I turned on the fire. I actually got
the fire back on.
I turned it on. Okay, in order to get this oven to work, you have to get the fire on, and you have the door closed. So right. I had the fire on, and it was burning, and it was doing fine. Now, 2 hours later, he opened the door, and
everything went off.
He temporarily put it off. He didn't turn it off. He temporarily put it off.
It's all completely, unless someone's going to go ahead and close the door.
Put the water on the fire. It's only temporarily off until he relights it.
He doesn't have to relight it. He has to just remove
it. He has to take the
safety valve.
Same thing.
No, it's not. Because if the switch had been turned off, he's opening the door and closing it. Does not
right, fine, but the mice it wasn't, the fire went off, so it turned it off.
The fire went off.
Right, because it's off. That's off now. It's not there anymore.
Like electricity where you stop electricity from running, but it's still there. That I can understand. It's like,
what's over here?
Over here, there's no fire.
The machine is ready to burn. It was burning. And he puts it,
so the guy
can temporarily stop the fire from burning.
It's not all complete. He's never going
to. He didn't stop the fire.
This man went to school to see
this. Can you understand the difference?
No.
Stopping the fire, or temporarily stopping the fire, is electricity. Because the switch lets it run, and when you switch it, it stops. But it's there. When you open the convection oven, the ash is gone completely.
Yes.
So when you, how do you get the ash again? You do another mice.
But your action alone, closing the door, will not put on the fire on the oven. If the oven was warm, if the oven had been switched, was off, and you open and close the door, nothing happened.
But you did. May law, according to this, you could use.
You have no problem with
a clock, a time switch, you know, for lights. You can do that every morning in a restaurant. It can click on at 6 o'clock as long as you are the one, you the yid, set it up.
No.
Who turned the switch off? Because if you just set a timer, that also doesn't do it.
If you wouldn't have done that switch, where it turns on in the morning, it turns off at night.
No, because you just switched roles. You did the unimportant part by setting the timer, and the guy who turns on the oven is doing the real thing.
In
our case, the guy who turns on the convection of the timer. Right. So you putting setting the timer is doing the unimportant part.
No, it's turning on the oven.
Are we getting all sore?
This is Rabbi Shapta says this.
He says,
and the reason why, he says, and that's why in a regular oven, in a home oven, when you say this to a person, he says, the reason why in a home oven, the reason why it's Bishul Yisrael is because even though I turned the whole fire on, so I asked you before, and I said, but the fire goes off.
So
it stays warm in the oven. Okay, that's giving like a hazard. But when I first said it to you, you're like, huh? That's why it works. I guess so. I never thought of it like that, but I guess that's why it works. He says, no, when you turn on an oven in the morning and it stays on for 2 hours, who made the fire? The guy who turned on the oven made the fire. So it goes on and off. All those actions are all my actions.
Okay. So,
okay, so I said to you, and I said before I start telling you this,
would it look at all problem?
We don't do this. I told you before, we don't do this. I didn't mean to say that we do this. We, in fact, insist that the mashgiach should not let the door stay open for too long, or if it stays open, he has to redo it, etc., etc. Right. I'm saying to you, the way we said last time, that there's a starting up a machine has a special strength to it, that whatever comes from that, even though people are doing things in between, that would potentially be a reason to be made. Okay, I actually heard this week, from that a prominent Pesach thought that you don't need to do this, need to have the yid always closed, keep those doors closed. Okay, and we're giving a possible hazard for that shita.
So
I'm not saying we do that.
This would be an example at the Echo Convention. If you would have talked about Bishul Yisrael, you could have said the shita that there are people that hold this way.
I don't know. Hey,
I mean, you have a chapter.
Okay, but we don't do. I'm going to repeat it another time.
When you.